Let's pray. Dearest Lord, I ask that you help us to understand your word and that we receive a message from it for us that we can take home and that will shape our lives. Amen. Please sit. I don't know whether over the Christmas period you've had time to watch any Christmas films. I rather like them, and my family have been watching them since the beginning of November, and it's been a long time, but there are some really good ones. And one of the all-time favourites is a film called Home Alone. I don't know whether you know it, for those of you who don't, it's the story of an 8-year-old boy called Kevin, played by Macaulay Culkin, who is beginning the preparations for Christmas in the midst of a very hectic family life. Kevin has a large family with at least 6 or so siblings and cousins and an older brother who constantly teases him. And in response to this, he falls out with his whole family. He's sent early to bed by his frustrated mother while the rest of the family pack in chaos to go away on an aeroplane to a holiday destination. How like normal family life it is, I think. The following day, the family rush to the airport, get the tickets and the passports checked, make sure they have all the correct bags and labels, and finally sit down on the plane. And then it dawns on Mum, I've forgotten Kevin. Kevin is still in the attic bedroom at home at the top of the house, and they've exited and left him there. And I can't help thinking of this film when I read the reading in Luke. Here we have a large family. As we know, Jesus had several brothers and a sister, as well as several other relatives and members of the community. And they'd all gone on a large joyous break to celebrate the festival of the Passover, a most important festival in the Jewish calendar. Thinking Jesus was with them, the family travelled home, then after a day noticed they hadn't seen him and began looking among all the relatives and friends. And then it dawned on them, Jesus hadn't come home. Back to Jerusalem they went, and then after 3 days, and it was 3 days, they found him in the temple. I think we can all imagine the tone with which his poor mother exploded. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. I think that's quite moderate to how I would have reacted if my 12-year-old had took herself off for 3 days. Jesus, however, hadn't gone on a pleasure-seeking trip or got in with the wrong crowd. I get the feeling it hadn't even occurred to him that his parents would be worried. This may sound a little familiar to those of you who've had near teenage children. What? I was only at so-and-so's. But what's unusual about Jesus, he did sat among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. It's interesting that Jesus chooses to ask others' opinions. I get a sense he was seeking to expand his understanding by listening to others. And that's an astonishing concept, isn't it? God on earth asking other people opinions and questions. I think there's a message here about not being afraid to ask things, to question others and to learn. Jesus' understanding and answers amazed his parents. And happily for them, the incident isn't repeated, as the text says he was obedient to them from then on. But it's quite clear that Jesus felt the need to be in his father's house, and he's surprised that his parents didn't recognise that. It's almost as though he's thinking, well, where else would I be? The synagogue to Jesus and his family, and indeed the whole Jewish community, was a sacred place, but it was also at the centre of people's lives. It was where you went to pray, make sacrifices, worship God, but it was also the place where the community met and spent time together. It's where things happened. I visited a gurdwara once, and I noticed that families would meet up with the other families and share food together. The one I visited was a busy one in Birmingham, and so this was a daily occurrence, and it was a big part of life at the temple. And I've often wondered whether that's what it was like for the Jewish community, that the temple was where they went for everything, really. And we might be tempted to envy the passion of the Jewish people for their temple and wish that we were in a similar position in our churches, with people popping in continually, with it at the heart of the community. And yes, it would be wonderful if the Christian faith and church was at the heart of people's lives, a place they could call home. To encourage you, though, I have noticed that whilst people don't attend church perhaps as often as they once did, they still have regard for it. If we were to say we were demolishing all the churches in Britain, I'm pretty certain that people wouldn't like it. They might not attend it, but they like to think that it's there. Why is that? Well, I think there's a number of reasons, but I think at the heart of it sometimes is a sense that they might need it one day. A disaster or something bad might happen to them, and then they might need it. I don't think that's the case in everybody, but I think some people feel like that. They want to be able to come in when the need arises, or perhaps for the Christmas services and things like that. In the film Home Alone, Kevin has a next door neighbour who's got a really bad reputation. Old man Marley is reputed to have murdered several people, and when he looks over to Kevin when he's in his home, Kevin responds by ducking beneath the window. But on Christmas Eve, Kevin goes into a church attracted by the singing from the choir. And while he's there, old man Marley says Happy Christmas to him and asks if he can sit next to him. He's come to see his granddaughter, who's singing in the choir. And as Kevin talks to him, he realises he's just a lonely old man who's estranged from his family. Kevin explains how he's not been good, to which Marley says he knows that feeling, and church is a good place to be if you're feeling bad. Kevin explains that sometimes he says and even thinks that he doesn't like his family, particularly his older brother. Old man Marley wisely tells him that this is the case with every family and that we always love our loved ones but can forget it and can sometimes be hurt by those we love and can hurt them back. And I thought the conversation that they had in the film is actually much of what we do in church. We greet each other. We look back on our failings and admit them, which is confession. We reflect on our lives, and then, forgiven by God, we move out into the outside life, renewed and hopefully with a will to lead better lives. Churches are sacred places. So wouldn't it be good if we could extend the regard that people have for the church into recognising that this is a place where a community meets in good times as well as bad? This is a good place to go whether things are good or bad. This is a place where we worship God throughout everything. And if we extend the meaning of church to include ourselves, that we're the church, not just the building, then that support and love of God can be extended in everyday life, because let's face it, that's where God is, as well as here. This is a sacred place, and its beauty, its colour, its candles, its stained glass all help to increase that feeling, I think, of sacredness. But sacredness can be found in the most surprising of places. A kind act, a healing following hurt, an ability to grow away from anger and find peace with how things are, an acceptance of the present without wishing for the past, courage when faced with the future. At the end of Home Alone, Kevin's family come back. Frantic to see him, his mother searches the house, and when he sees her, Kevin stares at her, half resentful and half glad. She says sorry, and then, swept away with love, they run into each other's arms before Kevin makes peace with his brother. And outside, old man Marley forgives and is forgiven and is reunited with his family. So as we begin a new year, in the spirit of Christmas. Think what sacred places there are in your life. And let's think how we might bring kindness into that place. How might we bring healing, peace, acceptance, and courage into that sacred place? And who can we invite to be part of it? Amen.